All right, cool. In the previous weeks, it was more introductory, like just the kind of the format for the Chabura, and then the following week was looking at the source for Lamedtes Malachos, both the number 39 and the actual, where do we get all the parameters for what constitutes a Malacha. So obviously, the Mishkan is the kind of the classic kind of go-to answer. I posted on YU Torah, it's all there. We saw different approaches to that, basically. One of the things that we saw is kind of repeated in source one here. This is from the Eglay Tal, which is one of this farm that we'll be using bits and pieces from. And he's explaining where Zoreya was in the Mishkan. Kvar kasavnu b'psita. I already wrote in my introduction, he discusses this at length, that Shitas Rashi v'Rambam, that Rashi and the Rambam view Shizriya haiba Mishkan l'torach ha'samamanin l'tzaveya behen t'cheles v'argaman v'tolas shani. Any fabric that they needed to dye was, for the most part, used plant-based dyes, so they had to plant whatever plants they were using. But it was, the point being there, it's the construction of the Mishkan. For Rashi and the Rambam. On the other side is Rav Haigon and Rabbeinu Chananel, Haile Torah HaMenachos. There it's the actual avoda in the Mishkan. Anything that you needed flour for, you'd have to plant wheat or barley or whatever it would be, which is very different. And again, we classically seem to assume like the first approach, that it's the actual construction of the Mishkan. But that other view is out there, definitely. So now looking at Zoreya, in source 2, there's a line that this pattern shows up a lot in Gemara Shabbos, both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. We'll see a teaching, Tana, HaZoreya VaZomer VaNotea Umavrich VaMarchiv Kulan Malacha Achasen. That planting trees, Notea is also means planting, but it refers specifically to trees. Umavrich is I get these two confused. It's putting into the ground, the picture on the left. You see the branch is just stuck into the ground and they cover it with dirt, and so it will become its own, it will look like its own tree at the very least. That's considered Zoreya. And then Marchiv is when you're grafting, where you cut a slit in a pre-existing branch and put a sapling into it, and it will become part of that branch. It's also Zoreya. So it's not clear at all from the Gemara, are these all examples of the Av Malacha of Zoreya, or is Zoreya the Av and the rest are Toldos? That becomes a split in the Rishonim. And just to look at it very simply, I put in the chart here, Rashi, Rambam, and Beinu Chananel in terms of what the Av is in the Tolda. And this whole idea is really academic in our times, because this is significant for if you're warning somebody not to do a malacha on Shabbos for the purposes of beis din and potentially getting mises beis din. But since we don't have that nowadays, there's less of an implication here. But Rashi seems to view the Av of Zoreya as promoting new growth, a new tree, a new sapling, whereas the Tolda would be promoting any growth whatsoever, even if it's not a new shoot coming out of the ground. And the Rambam views the Av as being promoting growth, but it has to be direct involvement with the tree itself, whereas a Tolda will be promoting growth, but indirect involvement. So watering the plant is indirect versus trimming is direct. And then Rabbeinu Chananel seems to view it as just putting a seed in the ground is the Av, and everything else is a Tolda. Fine. Now we're going to look at some of the specifics of watering. And this starts in Source 3, the Gemara, the very beginning of Moed Katan. It teaches, Itmar HaMenachesh, somebody who pulls weeds out, V'mashke Mayim L'Zerayim B'Shabbos. And the case of one who waters seeds on Shabbos, Mishu Mai Masrinan. What warning would we give them to either get them to stop or have their punishment be admissible in Beis Din. What is the warning? Rabba Amar Mishum Choresh. Rabba would say, you need to tell them what they're doing is Choresh. It's important to know what they're doing and give them the correct warning, because if you state the wrong malacha, it's not a good warning. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Amar Mishum Zoreya. No, it's Zoreya. So we're going to focus the next few sources on the Mashke Mayim Zorim, so that's the only one I'm going to reference. If you water seeds, it's either Choresh or Zoreya. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabba, Kavsi Didei Mistabra. My opinion is Mistabra, it makes sense. Ma Darko Shel Choresh, what's the way of plowing? The Rapoy Ara, it comes to soften or loosen the dirt, the ground, to enable planting. Hainami, the Rapoy Ara. So too, pouring water on the ground, if you've ever done that, it loosens the dirt. I have practical experience with that. Amar Rav Yosef, Kafsi Didi Mistabra. No, Rav, my opinion is more logical, not yours. Ma Darko Shozoreya, what is the way of planting? Lutzmuche Pira, to cause fruit to grow. Hachanami Mitzameach Pira. So to here, when I water a plant, when I water seeds, it's promoting growth. So the act of watering seems like it's Zoreya. So if we just stop there. It's very hard. They both seem to present fairly logical arguments. I wouldn't, off the top of our heads, I don't know if we could just say, oh, we're going to follow that opinion versus the other opinion. So in source 4, the Or Zeruah gives his approach. And he actually takes the case of watering seeds and changes it a tiny bit. What happens if I pour water out on the ground, and there, I know for a fact there are no seeds in the ground? According to the opinion of Rav Yosef, that it's Zoreya, I'm not liable. It's mutter, because I'm not promoting any growth. There's nothing to grow there in the first place. There are no seeds, so I could just pour water in the dirt. If we view it as Choresh, though, as Farisha, it's Aser. And he says, Hashta, now, according to what the Gemara said, the Rav Yosef, mutter lishpoch mayim al gabei karka, she'en azru, it's permissible to pour out water on ground that has no seeds in it. Well, the Rabba Aser, and to Rabba it'll be Aser, because it doesn't matter if it has seeds in it at all. I'm preparing it for seeds, I'm loosening it. The Luchora, Hayanire de Halacha ka Rabba. At first glance, it would appear that the Halacha follows Rabba, that it's Choresh. And why? Like I said, in the Gemara itself, the quote that we saw, there's no... the scales don't seem to tip in either direction. Why de Aser... that it's Aser. And why is that? De Hilchasa Kvase de Rav Yosef Rak Besidei Inyan Umechatzin. So though he says, we have this concept in the Gemara Klal, just a fundamental principle, that when Rav Yosef and Rabba argue, the halacha will follow Rabba, with the exception of three cases, which are Sade, Inyan, and Mechetze, which are completely tangential to what we're dealing with, so I don't even want to go into that right now. It's Bava Basra, Kufmem Gimel, where those cases are discussed. And the fact that the halacha will follow Rav Yosef in those, otherwise we go with Rabba. So it sounds like the halacha is like Rabba, that it should be Choresh, in which case pouring out water on the ground will be Aser. Mihu, Nir Be'enai, Be'enai Ani, Hamachaber, it appears to my self, the writer, the Or Zeruah, to halacha k'Rav Yosef. No, but I think I'm not going to follow that klal. I'm going to say that the halacha is like Rav Yosef, da mashke lo have ele mishum Zoreya, that it's actually because of Zoreya. Fine. It happens to be, I didn't put it on here, but there, the Gemara itself presents it as either being Choresh or Zoreya, and we would assume that some poskim will go like Zoreya and others will go like Choresh. There's actually at least a third group that just say it's both. We'll leave that aside for now, though. And he quotes his support his proof that the halacha is like Rav Yosef, that it's because of Zoreya, is based on source 5. Yushalmi, I just highlighted the word mashke. But the opening line of the Gemara here is called Kal Davashai Mavchil Esaperos, Chayv Mishum Zoreya. Anything which enhances the ripening or the growth of fruit while it's still attached is Chayv because of Zoreya. And obviously, watering will be one of those. Just logically, but also the Gemara says it outright, and it doesn't seem to argue at all. So he uses that very clear statement from the Yerushalmi to decide which way to go with the Bava. Fine. Now, in source 6, we'll see a practical implication of this whole topic, where this is a quote from the Shulchan Aruch, including statements from Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, and the Rama, Rabbi Moshe Israelis, who's in the italics at the end. So we start, and it says, Mutar leilech al gabi asavim. We can walk in grass on Shabbos, bein lach and bein yavashim, regardless of whether it's fresh, kind of moist grass, or if it's dried out. Kevan she'enam is kavim litlosh. The concern was you're going to be uprooting grass with your footsteps. But here, you have no intent to do that, and presumably it's not an absolute given that it will happen in the first place, so we allow it. And now, what's really applicable for us is, Avah ochlim beganot, however, those who eat out in the garden, which sounds very nice, a nice way to spend a Shabbos meal, asurim litol yadehem ala asavim shemashkim losa. You cannot do netilas adayim out in the middle of the lawn, because then you're watering your lawn. Afal pi she'ena mechavdim, even though that's not at all my intention, I just want to wash my hands to allow me to eat bread. Psik reshehu, it's a psik reshe, which literally means, the case in the Gemara is you're cutting off the head of a chicken. The Gemara is speaking sarcastically that, psik reshe below yamus, you want to cut off the head of a chicken and expect that it doesn't die. Of course it will die. It's when you, there are certain actions that you do that there is an absolutely guaranteed result. So here it's absolutely guaranteed that by doing netilas sidayim, I am there in turn watering the grass. So it's forbidden. Aval mutzer la'atil behem me'raglayim u'shar mashkin she'enim matzmichim. However, it is permissible to pour out urine or other liquids which are assumed to not cause growth. So what exactly those liquids are becomes debated, because some people view like wine as being something that would not benefit the grass, and others might view it as something that would. That's something to look into another time. For right now, we're focusing on washing hands just normally with water. So far, Rabbi Yosef Karo the Mechaber has only told us not to wash your hands. You could have your meal in the garden, just don't wash your hands there. You have to go inside or on concrete, wherever. But if we continue, Haggad, the Rama says, "Ulechen tov lahachmir shlo lechol beganot." Therefore, it's really best just not even to eat in the garden, which seems strange. I could have just not washed my hands there and avoided the problem, presumably. But he explains why. It's better to not eat there if you're going to have water involved with the meal. It's difficult to be careful that water doesn't fall on the grass. Inevitably, I'm going to knock over my water glass, or, you know, there's going to be children there, and it almost always happens that they're spilling something or another, and then it's ending up on the grass. Which is a very interesting approach, because the beginning that we saw was all about kavana. Did you actually have intent for this or not? And here, if just accidentally knocking something over is obviously not having intent to do that, but he's still telling us to stay away from it. So I didn't put the Shmir Shabbos Kehochas on here, but I believe he follows the Rama and advises to avoid eating outside, which then probably Sukkot is the biggest time where this will come up. Yeah, so that's where people say if you have, it's just dirt, then that's it. Yeah, dirt, cement, or even if it's in the grass, but you put down wooden boards, which I've been in sukkahs like that. People do that. I don't know if they do it specifically because of this halacha or just because it's nicer and, you know, your chairs aren't going to sink into the ground and that kind of, yeah, that kind of, and especially if it rains, then it's just muddy and gross. But it also helps us here. Even though according to the Mechaber, it's fine, the Rama presumably would take issue. But in those cases, yeah, it'd be fine. Fine. So that's one practical implication here. Whereas, according to that dispute in the Gemara, the opinion of Rabba that it's because of Choresh, it's not entirely clear that if you're pouring water out in grass for washing your hands, that's actually going to be liable because of Choresh, because it's already planted. Do you really do Harisha in that case? That's not entirely clear. Unlike the fact that we've seemingly posited that it is Zoreya, it's clearly a problem. The next thing I wanted to look at in 7 is hydroponics, where it's an interesting topic in terms of Hilchos Brachos. What bracha do you make on tomatoes that are grown hydroponically? Oh, they're grown in, I mean, it's not, nowadays it's not pure water, but you can just put seeds in water with maybe there's some extra minerals in there, what have you, and they'll grow. And so you don't even have soil at all. I think most typical hydroponics nowadays is a mixture of water, and there is some soil in there, but not. It's still very heavy on the side of water, I think. I'd have to look up the exact parameters of how it works nowadays, especially in a agricultural context, but could you go stick a seed in water? Because that's not what Zoreya looked like in the Mishkan. But one thing I mentioned last time was that for something to be a tolda, there are two, well, let's back up. In order for something to be an av, there are two elements. It has to be the actual act that was in the Mishkan and the same intent. So here, the act is not the same because they didn't plant things in water for the Mishkan. So it's not going to be an av, but your intent is still exactly the same. I'm planting a seed in order that it should grow. So presumably it's a tolda. And therefore an issa d'oraisa. So let's see in source 7, this is again the Shulchan Aruch. Hashori chitim u'seorim k'yotze b'hem b'mayim. If you're putting wheat or barley, other seeds, you're putting things like that into water. This could even be the actual grain itself, and then it will sprout. Harizei toldas zoreya, it is a tolda. B'chayev b'kol shehu, and you're chayev on any amount that you put in. Fine, so now let's skip down to 8, and we'll come back to 7. Asur la niyach galin avocado. You cannot put an avocado seed, or kedoma al kos mayim, kedei sheyotzi shirashim v'yaschiu litzmoach. You can't put it on the top of a cup. I guess a little bit will be sticking into the water in order that it should start developing roots and then actually grow. I should have looked to see if that's a normal thing. Is that how you do?
Put toothpicks in it, so it's like floating on the top of a cup of water.
Meaning,
grows roots, then you transfer it into
soil. So you can't just stick it in the soil and it will grow. The normal.
No, I think the normal way to do it is
like this.
Water.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense that would be the norm. Why else is he telling us not to stick an avocado seed?
People do it, like, for fun at home.
Okay. Right, okay. So, at the very least, he's speaking to that reality. Yeah. Okay. So then it makes sense, because I would think, I might think that there's no problem whatsoever. It's not really planting anything. I'm just sticking it in water. But no, hydroponics is a tolda. V'chen asur la'otzi galin kazei mina kli shebo nitan. And so, too, you couldn't remove it. If it were placed in before Shabbos, you can't take the seed out, because then that's going to be kotzer. You're removing it from its life source. Same thing as pulling a seed out of the ground. And he goes on to say that it's, on top of the actual malacha component, there's also an issue with muksa. But now if we look in source 9, the first source on the back, there seems to be a contradiction. Mutter lashkos is a talush. You can literally water something which has been separated, meaning has been uprooted from its light source or has been cut off from the plant. So my avocado, maybe an avocado, you wouldn't water an avocado, it makes sense, but lettuce or something, you could kind of moisten it to keep it fresh. Kadesh lo yichmosh, to keep it from getting shriveled or dried out, to keep it fresh. So what exactly is the distinction between, for example, the avocado seed and my lettuce or spinach or what have you that I'm spraying down with some water to keep it fresh? It's... On one hand, I could say they look exactly the same. And on the other hand, maybe not. Because there does seem to be a pretty critical difference. I think if we look in source 10, there's a certain word that is from Hutashani, which is Rav Nissim Karelitz. There's a certain word that he uses that I think is critical. V'hu adin kol ki kai hai gavne she'ein bo hatzmacha mutar im hu talush. Anything which does not have hatzmacha, any sort of sprouting or growth. So when I moisten my vegetables to keep them fresh, it's exactly that. It's to keep them fresh, just to maintain a basic status versus to further along any sort of growth or to cause growth to start in the first place. So things like that is permissible. He says, granted, if it has to be talish, if it's still connected to the ground, then that's obviously Zoreya. Mushum hachi mutar laniach b'shabas agvania, sh'adayin lo yifshila legamrei kagon yiroka, v'roya la'ochla al yered dechak. So you can put vegetables into the sun to kind of further along the ripening or hasten the ripening, provided that they're already somewhat edible. B'makom achama amanas shetadim. You can put it there, so it should actually turn red and be ready to go. This is an additional condition, is it has to be, it can't be right before the end of Shabbos where you're putting it in the window. I mean, it's not going to be any sun at that point anyway, but you can't put it there in the middle of the afternoon to be ready for Motzei Shabbos, because then you're preparing from Shabbos to the weekday. But if you're putting it there in the morning to be ready for lunch, that's fine. Fuadin avocado kasha. Your avocado is still a little bit hard. Shroy la achla b'shas adechak. Almanas shi'is racheik b'chama shi'e roy la achila b'shabas. To call elu ein zo hatzmacha v'kein kevan shem talush mutar la sosim b'shabas.
It's so unlikely that if you put it in the sun on Shabbos, it'll ripen quick enough to be ready on Shabbos. Like we always say,
it's very.
To like make it ripen faster, like in the brown paper bag. Nothing works that fast.
Yeah, and I was wondering that when I read this too. I don't know about tomatoes. I mean, maybe some fruit. Right. I don't know what that. I mean, maybe it's different in Israel. I don't know what they do with tomato here. There's a lot of processing. And, might not actually be so red in real life, but
is this only talking about ripening it if you put it in front of a window? Like, you know how a brown paper bag helps things ripen?
Yeah.
So, like, can you do that on top? It's like put bananas in a brown paper bag?
Presumably, that would be the same. That might even be less of an issue. Because here, putting something in the window, that could actually be usher. If it's you have a potted plant, you can't go stick that in the window. Because then that's. Sunlight is what it uses to grow, so you're enhancing its growth by putting it in the window. Some people say they're not muksa, and some people say they are. It depends. It seems, I think most people assume that they are muksa. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody move a plant, but
it's also like you're not supposed to pick grass or trees. I guess it's
Well, that would be, yeah, I mean, that's a different, that would be Kotzer, presumably, but I mean, it could be Zoraya if you're doing it, like you do trim plants to enhance your growth. Okay, so then that gets dependent a lot on Kavana at that point, but right, to put it in a brown bag, that's not a normal act of causing something to grow. So, right, once you have this condition where it's almost ready to eat but not quite, then yeah, it wouldn't be an issue at all, I don't think.
But what if you want to put it in a brown paper bag and like it's not almost ready to eat, or it won't be ready until after Shabbos? Like, is it a malacha but we have the tester, or like a brown paper bag is the issue to start with?
Right, I think I was thinking from the perspective of the malacha of Zoraya. From there, it doesn't seem like it's a malacha, but that might be an issue of hachana to put in the brown paper bag for after Shabbos. And right, like you said, to put it there for 3 hours over the course of the morning while you're at shul isn't going to do a whole lot. And it's true also with putting in the window. I don't know, practically speaking, whether this is such a useful heter, but it exists, and it helps us understand the malacha, certainly. Okay, well, we'll have to stop there, because I think well, you don't have class. Do you have class? I don't? You don't? okay, so let's do... well, I have a meeting at 3:15, actually. Yeah, so let's do the next source, because it relates. No, it doesn't. Well, it does, but we have to back up, because the next thing was flowers, putting flowers into water, so let's actually stop there. And,
is that also, like,
Sukkot? Yeah, it comes up both on Shabbos with flowers, and then Sukkot, it's already in the Mishnah, in Sukkot, about putting your lulav in the water.
Yeah, what's the three different things? Chol Hamoed, Yom Tov, and Shabbos. It's like Chol Hamoed, you can change the water,
right, Chol Hamoed, you could do all those on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you could add water. You can't change it. On Shabbos, you couldn't do anything, and you could be machzir on Yom Tov, I think. You could take it out and put it back in. On Shabbos, I don't think you could do anything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now I'm going to go look at the Mishnah to see if I said that correctly, but...